going to be a
vehicle. This is the last part.
So, good evening, everybody. We'll call the November meeting to order. And we have a full committee in attendance. We have both you, the governor. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting and the budget meeting. I know everyone has gotten copies of those, and they were separate meetings. If anyone is able to make a motion on those.
Motion approved.
Moved by Supervisor Uhas, seconded by Supervisor... Yes, Frederick.
Franco.
Franco. Frederick. Oh, I'm sorry.
The other F.
Also, no.
The other F guy.
I'm sorry. I knew Franco, because we have Franco.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah. Let's not get started on that.
Well, it's embedded in my brain. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you. The comments that I have, I'll be very brief. You'll hear it all from staff here this evening, and I've been lucky enough to be real close to a couple of these projects. And we have finished a lot of things here this fall. And the one thing I really want to mention, I know it's trivial, but if you get your Kenosha Sunday paper, the awards that are given for the favorite things in Kenosha County, it's actually kind of entertaining. Kenosha County Parks and Golf cleaned up, and Dan, really, congratulations, and Matt. And then the beer garden did too, so that was separate. Man, I read that yesterday, and I thought, this is really cool. We've got the two golf courses, we've got the park, and then all of a sudden the beer garden was for an entertainment venue. So it's all the hard work, and a lot of it is this committee approving and working with the people, the beer garden thing, and the very hard work of Dan and Matt. I wanted to mention that this evening, and naturally Ray approving of what they do. So we've got a whole lot to be proud of. I know it's a people's choice type of award thing. It's like the chili cook-off, but it's also competing against a whole lot of things. So I think that's fantastic. The projects that we've completed, Clement has had his hands full. And again, I was able to be close to a couple of those projects. Highway W, north of Highway F, if you're in the area, you should take a look at the sheeting that we did to protect the highway from the Fox River. It was naturally a highly professional job, well engineered, and I've got 20 acres that abuts it, so I was down there quite a bit and got to meet the contractors. So well done. And thank you, Clement. It was, and I know that's not one of your bigger projects, but that's $500,000. You know, that's big to us. So that's all I have. I just want to congratulate everybody on how the fall is going before the winter mires us all in. Any other committee members? Yes, sir.
Ray, I had emailed you about that Camp Lake Gardens issue that was going on over there. I guess it was probably last month. Okay. Could you take a look at that when you get a chance? I know you've been really busy with the budget and all those other things going on. So
we've actually got a couple things going on there because we've got planning involvement involved.
Yeah, I asked Andy about it too, and he said make sure you got the information.
I can give you an update. There's actually a number of things that we're getting the Lake District involved.
Good.
And we identified, this is basically a piece of property that has some stormwater issues. It has too many places in the county. Because Dan informed me today, Brightondale recorded 18.5 inches of rain between August 27th and November 4th. So welcome to the tropical rainforest, northern version. So 18.5 inches of rain. So to that point, we do have some stuff. I'll put together a little report.
Okay.
I'll put a little report.
There's just some folks over there. I just want to report back to that. We are doing some things.
We're trying to get
if we can do anything.
It's been an issue that's been batted around for, I'm going to say, decades. And I think now we're going to try to get the right people involved, and we might be able to actually come up with something that will maybe not 100% resolve it, but something that will make it better than it is right now.
The only thing I told him is we'll take a look at it because there's some county-owned property over there where the water's supposed to properly, you know, mitigate through.
Yep.
And whether it is or whether it isn't, I'm not an expert, but I'll get at least the county looking at it, and they can tell us whether there's anything they can or can't do. So, made no promises.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else from any other supervisors? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Seeing no citizens here, I'll still do my spiel. If you wish to address the committee, you would have 5 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll move on. Facilities, Mike.
Starting with the focus on energy spreadsheet. Top line, project at the safety building, upgrading the jail lights to LEDs. That project has got a couple new entries there in red. Projected cost estimate for that is $10,655. Calculates out to an annual savings of $3,227 with an ROI of 3.3 years. Important thing to notice there, we're moving into the inside now with the LED conversions. And we're kind of grabbing the low-hanging fruit first. And that's a good one from the maintenance perspective because it's in the jail and they don't have lights just like these. They're all screwed in with like 8 security screws so inmates can't get them open. So every time a light is out, it's a really big deal to go up there, get a jail guard to go in to change light bulbs and light fixture. So going in there and attacking all those lights in all the dorms is going to really help us maintenance-wise. To the completed portion, the top one there, I moved the job center boiler replacement. That job is now complete. We finished up October 31st. All that's really left is insulating some pipes, and it's going to be done, so that'll be closed out. That's all I have for the focus on energy spreadsheet. Moving to ongoing projects, top one is a courthouse chiller replacement. That's one that's slated to be done over the entire winter and be ready for AC season next year. The only thing to report is we have a revised chiller delivery date of 1/31/19. Other than that, we're waiting for the contractor to send a new work schedule based on that. Second one is the KCDC groove coupling replacement project. That project is essentially complete except for pipe insulating. There's about another week of that to go forth, and that'll be closed out. Next one after that is, again, the boiler project at the job center, and it just states that the insulating needs to be done, and that's going to probably finish up this week, and that'll be closed out also. Last one is the ATS replacement project at KCDC. We just got submittals in late last week or midweek last week, so once those are in and approved, then the contractor has to send us a schedule, so we're waiting for that. That's all I have.
Mike, I have one question. Is that on the jail door light. Mm-hmm. Is that a higher than normal percentage of annual savings?
It is because they're T12 fluorescent tubes. If you look at these are real skinny, and they're T8s. So it's kind of like two generations removed.
Right.
So there's significant savings. If this was a T8 pipe tube we were replacing to LEDs, it wouldn't be as significant.
I mean, that's beautiful.
It is. That's what you like.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions for Mike? Or we'll take
a quick one. Hey, Mike, on the focus on energy, you've got the boiler listed, but no annual savings or projected savings. Are you waiting to figure that out?
It was a project that kind of came together about a month ago. I'll explain a little further, but we have to have the boilers replaced by heating season, so we scrambled real quick to do that, and we were able to do that. I actually got a figure in for the focus on energy incentive, which is about $1,700, but this was put out too soon to list that.
Perfect.
So it'll be
you
on there next week or next month.
We'll move on to Frank.
Mr. Chairman, Anderson Art Center Preservation Project, all of the subcontractor bids have been evaluated by Camozzi. The scopes are good, and we are just right under the budget, so we look pretty good. hazardous material abatement. There is some asbestos and some lead paint that we've got to take care of before the construction. And those bids are out now, and those bids are due back on November 15th. And again, construction, we're expected to begin in early 2019.
And Frank, we did have, I think, 80-some thousand in the project for the asbestos.
Exactly.
That's not like it's a surprise.
So No. It was already, in fact, we had a real good idea because we had an engineering company come in and identify exactly what had to be remediated. So we had a really good number in there. Yeah, I think it was closer to 100,000, but it was not a surprise.
Very good.
No other questions about the Branch 1 courtroom renovation project? IT and our design team finalized the audio-visual project scope. Again, technology is always changing. The state has got new things on board. Judge Bastianelli signed off on the final bid level plans and specs on October 29th. So the bid is going to be released by purchasing on November 9th, and the bids are due back on December 11th, and we're targeting construction for early 2019.
And Frank, it'd be good if you explain one of the things you guys did from a strategic standpoint, because I think it's going to be something we're going to use when we can going forward.
Yeah, actually, Ray brings up a good point. What again, we're always looking, trying to optimize and find ways to save money without spending money. And a lot of this goes back to talking to the contractors, talking to the that are actually out there in the field every day doing this work, how full their books are. So what we did was we, talking to everybody involved, we determined 8 weeks was enough time to do this project from beginning to end and without incurring overtime. So we give them an 8-week window. But some people are booked early up in the year, some people are booked later on, you know. So what we're doing is we're giving them a window from January to June 1st. And they can pick that 8-week window anywhere in that area. But once they start, they gotta be completed within that 8 weeks. What that allows is we're not fixing dates where some people are already booked and busy, some people have projects. So that allows more people to bid it and fit it into their schedule. And it's we've used it before with very good success, so that's what we'll be doing here.
I just have a question about the courtroom itself. So during that 8 weeks, do we have another courtroom where the courts...
That's okay, exactly.
So it's not going to hurt the schedule because they can always just flip it whenever, as soon as they know.
Exactly.
How much notice will you get when they're going to start?
Well, because the bids come back on December 11th, we'll be issuing the bids before, you know, we'll know who we're going to deal with. They might have to go through some insurance and stuff, but as part of the bid, they have to tell us when.
Okay.
So we'll know right away, and the judge is fine. He's like, hey, I just need a couple weeks, you know, just to move everything up there. So, yeah, the judge is on board, clerk of courts is on board. So working, again, as a team, working with everybody coming up, you know, everybody's been part of it, so they buy into this. It's worked well.
The chief judge has been involved since we started the project, so
sure.
He's very aware of everything we're doing.
We don't have to worry about the weather.
No, and that's exactly why it's a good wintertime project.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way. So.
Okay.
And part of the reason why we have it ending in June, because all the school work starts. So we stay out of that.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. If no other questions, public safety building shooting range project. The public safety building dates back to 1980-ish, and the shooting range was installed back then, and it was pushing beyond its useful life. They were limping along the HVAC system, put in silicone mats, the back of the range, the HVAC system was just really at its end. So anyway, the committee put together the money and the budgets to redo the range. We're lengthening the range. We knocked down some walls. The old gym, which we as part of the remodel of the PSB, we moved that and built a bigger area so that we could move the shooting range into that. That'll allow them to also shoot rifles down there to, for this again is for the police and for the sheriff. So they're gonna get better utilization out of this, qualify with more weapons, and the lead in the HVAC system is gonna be brought up to modern standards. So that's that overall, that project. The lead abatement, because of shooting down there so long, they had to clean up all the walls and everything before they demoed it. Lead abatement, we had actually have testing done as they do it, so that all came back and was completed October 29th. Demoing of the walls, again, to move everything back, was completed on October 31st. We're receiving equipment as we speak on site, and we're targeting January 11th for the project to be complete and for them to start shooting again.
And that's not solely a county expenditure. It's joint services. Basically, this is joint services. We're reporting on it this evening, so that's city, county. Mm-hmm. Mark?
When was that built?
1980. 82 is when it opened up.
Lead was out of paint in 1978. They found
bullets.
That much
bullets. Bullets.
That's what I was going to ask. So is it of the bullets? Okay, yes. That's what it is.
Yeah, but actually, it's the bullets.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I was. Okay. Clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Anything for Frank?
Oh, actually, I did have a question. Is there any new products or whatever to have to, so then we can prevent lead abatement in the future that would collect that, or is it just because it's hitting the walls and it's ended up in the walls and everything? Or
it's actually, from what I understand, just shooting the bullets, you get microscopic pieces. And that's a big part of the HVAC system. You know, if the shooting line is here and the targets are down there, it actually, it all blows this way, so okay. That as you're shooting, it all goes.
Right.
And then there's HEPA filtration, there's two levels of HEPA filtration, there's
that's all the newer stuff to, yes, to put in there.
So that it actually cleans the air, and actually one of the problems was, I don't know if the technology was up to date back then, but in the summertime, the floor would get real humid, mm-hmm. a little slippery. There was no air conditioning mm-hmm. in it, because they were recycling 100% of the air all the time from outside, not recycling, they were recycling none of the air. It was all fresh air.
Fresh air.
Now with the HVAC technology we have and the HEPA filtration, mm-hmm. we're able to only have to bring in 50% new air.
Okay.
So then we're able to also temper it with air conditioning, take the humidity out.
Like
so
air to air exchanger. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Won't be slipping. So really it is, we're bringing it up to modern standards.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're continuing with, the division is continuing with the preparation of the fleet for winter operations. We've not had our first winter event, despite the fact that the temperatures are dropping gradually. The crew is continuing with all the countywide general maintenance operations, which include mowing, shoveling, crack sealing and trash pickups out of county highways. We've completed most of the state work. Recently, we just completed the concrete pavement replacement on Highway 15 part of it. And there's also the last major work for this year would be the storm sewer on Highway 16. On Frontage Road, just south of 165, they'll be replacing a major storm sewer there. The weather holds up, they intend to complete it this week. In other DOT and Kenosha working together, the DOT in conjunction with Kenosha County, Racine, and Milwaukee counties had a planning meeting on October 31st. To develop plowing routes for the construction zone on I-94. With the construction zone that is on the I-94, it's very apparent that it's going to be challenging to plowing through the work zone because of the barrier walls. And so we have to look for ways to store the snow that is being removed and to maintain the road at all given times, because any incident will shut down the freeway. So they for Kenosha and Racine, because of the closure of the ramps, they will be doing some sort of double plowing, where it's a very robust plowing method, where Kenosha, when they plow northbound, they'll plow all the way to Highway 20, and then they'll make the loop and come back plowing. And at the same time, Racine will plow southbound all the way to 158 and make the loop and plow northbound. That way, we can keep the work zone completely snow. Well, it's still robust, they're still fine-tuning it, and we're hoping that before the snow flies, we'll know the details, and everybody will be aware of what it's supposed to do. In other work that we do for the state, we do general maintenance, and everything has been going well. Upcoming projects, County Trunk Highway S project. I'm happy to announce that we have the approved environmental document and the concurrent use permit. So it's been a two-year journey. So if I can end my report here, I think I'll be happy. But anyway, the design work is now on the way. With the right-of-way acquisitions are ongoing, and we are actually trying to accelerate the work right now, physical land acquisition and the design work. Again, the project is scheduled for construction by 2020. And for now, everything is indicated that we're going to meet the schedule to start construction in 2020. County Trunk Highway W, the work was completed last week. And as the chairman alluded, the contractor did a good job, and it looks very solid. And as Ray puts it, the road is going to last for another 50 years. So,
Mr. Grubb, who came here the one day and asked, he's very appreciative how fast things got done, and you know, he's hoping the light's gonna, the flashing light. Which, have you been going through there at all?
It's there.
Yeah, I know it's there. I mean, it's noticeable because I don't go that way, so I'm not.
It's very noticeable.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
He's keeping his hopes high that's going to, keep things.
The people on W wish the project took longer because they enjoyed no traffic.
And you're right, that's what he was saying. Some people, you were saying the same thing too.
It's
the same
thing.
And to be honest, I didn't receive a single complaint from any of the residents.
You know, Clement, I was amazed because I was down there a lot, and the people to the west, those homes, there were four or five of them there, three or four, they were all so pleasant, and they were disruptive.
Yeah.
They got along with the contractor, and there was nobody that was, and you know, their lawns were, well, they were fixed, but I mean, still, but those were very pleasant people for that long a period of time.
Yeah.
You know, 6 weeks, whatever it was, they were. Yeah.
I wish every project could be the way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gray hair on my eyebrows. Okay. County Trunk Highway F, I'm also happy to announce that I know here it's stated that we anticipate the approval of the environmental document this week, but yesterday we received approval for the environmental document, so everything is going according to plan, and there is a public information meeting is scheduled for November 16. I know it's an awkward day, Friday, but that was the only time we could have the room available to us, so we decided to just go with the Friday. So it will be taking place on November 16. And construction is also targeted to start in late 19, early 20. Foxconn and related DOT projects, County Trunk Highway KR Enhancement Project. A PIM was held on October 17th for this project. Based on the feedback, the biggest challenge is determining if there is a safe and effective way to provide access to five properties just immediately east of the East Railroad tracks. The county is continuing to work with the DOT to identify solutions so design activities can remain on schedule. On I-94 projects, the county has observed that Wisconsin Valley trucks are using other county highways such as County Trunk Highway KR, MEK, County Trunk Highway B, and County Trunk Highway W.
Sure.
The county will be working with the department to develop mitigation measures. Based on that, I think this, again, the last part is just the long-term closures. Some of them will be dropping at the end of this month. And then, yeah, that's all I have.
Thank you, brother. Well, that was a lot of parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as our park projects go, the first one I have is an update on Bristol Woods Parkway, and we just received 60% drawings back from our engineers. So our plan is to, as we do with a lot of our public work projects, advertise the bid this year in anticipation to get lower bid results from contractors before their schedules get filled out. Next, we have Boundless Adventures. They're moving along with all of their technical data collection for the aerial park, and that has been completed. And now we're working with a third-party arborist to complete the tree assessment, tree inventory, to make sure that the trees that they would be using for the aerial adventure park are safe. So building, electric, and permit applications have been submitted. So a lot of that work should be occurring throughout the winter months with the anticipation of being open by Memorial Day of 2019. As for KD Park Phase 2 development, the parking lot off of County Highway KD by the dam, the trailer parking, boat launch, shoreline interface, the sidewalk, and the pier are all completed. Still on their list to do is a multi-use dock system and landscaping. We anticipate to be done early November. I contacted the contractors again today looking for a schedule on when those two items would be completed. Landscaping, it's too wet to do anything right now, but that multi-use dock, I'm hoping that'll get done this week. But it's been kind of difficult to work with that contract and get a schedule and get on top of it. They're about a little over 30 days late on that project as of now. So hoping that'll get done in the next week or so. As for KD Park Prairie Restoration, we did send out those bids, and the bids are out for the 30-acre prairie restoration. This is more on the western side of KD Park, and those are currently used as farm fields, and we're going to be restoring them into prairie for our master plan. So the dormant seeding is expected to occur December through the end of February, and that's what we've done with other prairie seeds, including the one at the Kenosha County Center and Phase 1 over at KD Park. And those worked out fairly well as well. Next, as far as Kemper Center goes.
I had a question about KD Park.
Sorry.
With Highway F, and I know this is a year or two off, going through, looks like the dog park there. Is the dog park?
It's not
going through the dog park. No. Okay, I must have misread how that was going to go.
It'll be well south.
It will be, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, never mind. I thought maybe those are going to be relocated.
When you're driving, just take a straight line and look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dog park's going to be.
It'll still be maintained.
Still be here, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And then Kemper Center, the shoreline. We're doing the engineering, as you know, for the Kemper Center shoreline. And all field work has been completed. Now they have to take that data and coastal analysis and site assessment and get us the final design documents. And that'll be throughout the winter months, hopefully by the end of this year. As for the debris pile I reported on a couple times, that finally did get removed. So on the report it says in early November, and that was done this last Friday on the 2nd. So it was about a little over 300 tons that was removed from that site with the amount of debris. As for the Pike River Restoration Phase 1, Sensitive slope areas adjacent to the maintenance yard have been challenging to stabilize due to the groundwater and soil conditions. So we decided to seek additional engineering solutions to ensure that those banks are protected long-term from future erosion. As far as other parts of the project, stream bank grading, rock armor, in-stream features, erosion control work has been completed to the north of the Parkway Bridge. And we contractors are working on wetland areas. They did their final scrape of the wetland last week. They have about approximately a third of the project area to go. Anticipate completing grading and stream features, armoring, and dormant seeding, and erosion control by 11:30. Given the weather, it's proven to be challenging, though, because any time that you get a rainfall like we had on Sunday and then this evening, the DNR ensures that we cannot, that the contractor can't work within the stream bank until that water flow goes down to a substantial level. So we anticipate that they only need approximately 10 working days to do so. That sounds like a lot, but given our weather patterns, we'll have to see how that goes the next few weeks. Moving on to some pest projects. We're again partnering with Gateway Technical College. They were out at Silver Lake Park last year with their urban forestry arboriculture students, removing trees. It's more educational in purpose, so they're not really pumping out a lot of trees, but they do help our staff take it off our plate by them processing these trees. They get to experience tree climbing techniques, pruning, trimming, and now they're at pests this year, removing all of our dead trees. So we help select which ones are dead or are hazardous, and then our Gateway students go out with their equipment and actually get to practice on tree felling techniques in our parks. Last but not least, UW Parkside, IGA, Kenosha County and UW Parkside currently working on an intergovernmental agreement to work collaboratively on best uses of approximately 139 acres of Parkside property. So I did include that map just for the committee's knowledge base that we have started conversations on both sides of how to better utilize and collaborate on that property. And then I did have one more thing that wasn't on the report, but just wanted to make the committee aware that of a resolution that I will be presenting to the legislative committee on the 20th of this month, and that's for LWCF. And basically what that is the Land and Water Conservation Fund expired on the 30th of September. And this is a federal fund that helps with a lot of our local grants through the local, state, and federal grants. And like I say, that expired on the 30th. And since this grant, or since this program was in effect, Kenosha County received about $3 million and grant funding through the LWCF. And now that that program expired, we're looking to send a letter to Senator Baldwin, state senators, and representatives to try to get that renewed again. It's not taxpayer dollars through the federal government, but it's funded through revenues paid through the government for offshore and oil and gas drilling. So I just wanted to make the committee aware that that will be going in front of legislative and then the full county board for a vote. And that is all I have.
Any questions for Dan? If not, Dan.
Thank you, sir. In golf, we had three very successful events this month. It was probably one of the only busy days that we had, but we had the senior scramble on Friday, October 5th, and we had 140 players. It went very well, and then the Brightondale Open was Saturday, October 13th, and we actually did 192 people on that tournament. That was the biggest event that we've ever run, and it was great to see that it was successful with that many people. It was really something. The event ended with a five-way tie at 19 under par for a 27-hole scramble, and then they had a playoff to crown the winner, so that was a good day for everybody. And then we had the Halloween Horror, which we had 144 people signed up, but the weather was so poor that it scared off 18 players. So, yeah. We didn't end up quite with the full field there. But, you know, it really makes our month really to help have those events, and it really shows how well people have enjoyed those events for, you know, our kind of season-ending events there. As Chairman Elverman has stated, Brightondale Links was second in favorite, and Petrifying Springs was first in favorite golf courses for the last 6 years. So, you know, ever since 2013, Petrifying Springs has been the number one golf course through that Kenosha News readership. And yeah, it's great to hear. It's great to see. You know that we're running some of the best golf courses in southeastern Wisconsin, and you know, really source of pride for myself and all of our staff. So it's awesome. We're preparing for the shutdown of Brightondale. That'll be November 16th with deer hunting season opening up at Bong with people using rifles. We just feel that it's a best idea to keep our golfers off of off of Brightondale, and we'll just send everybody over to Petrifying Springs, we hope. You know, there's no hunting around Petrifying Springs, so we'll be open until the snow flies. We do have a kind of a rule we've put up in the windows. If the temperature does not hit 40 degrees, or is not forecasted to be 40 degrees, we're really not open. It just doesn't pay for us. Not enough people come out, and a couple people might walk or something that day. But usually, we don't get anybody. So. But we will be there from 11 to 5 for our holiday sale, starting the 17th every day through December 23rd. So, you know, those hours will be observed. And that a lot of people really enjoy that holiday sale. We bring all of the merchandise over from Brightondale to Petrifying Springs. So we have our entire offerings of merchandise, plus we just brought in about 100 pairs of shoes for this sale, because the shoes really go well for Christmas and that kind of thing. So we get them at a good price at this time of year, and so that really helps our holiday sale, the revenue that comes in. So projects that we're working on is we blew out all the irrigation at both golf courses, so we shouldn't have any problem next spring when we start back up. We've reduced all of our food and beverage inventory. We will be open through the 16th at Petrifying Springs, but I think Brightondale will be shutting down pretty much this week, at, you know, with the weather forecast the way it is. And we have done the core aerification at Petrifying Springs, on the white birch and the red pines. We're not going to do the blue spruce until next spring, and that's really a necessary project to give all the compaction of the golf courses, relieve that compaction. So, and then the last one to report on is the bunker renovation. They have completed the back nine, and it is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the new sand in all the bunkers and the sod that they've laid around the greens and around the bunkers, I mean, it really is going to pop. I mean, and next year, once we get that open again, the white is closed right now, but the bunkers look so much better, and the sand is so much nicer, and it's going to drain so much better. And you know, the way the hydrology works is the water from the rain is supposed to drain through the sand and then drain through the first layer of the gravel that has this polymer on it, and then it gets to the bottom level, and then it can run down to the drainage and really take all of the water from the rain away, and you know, it's not going to let the sand wash away. It's really going to keep the sand on the bunker faces and really going to make the bunkers play so much better and so much quicker. You know, it's really state-of-the-art technology and really going to be a huge upgrade for our golf course. So we'll have to have a battle next year between Pets and Brightondale for who's the favorite after this renovation. So it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
So you would have to show the old parts of Kenosha how to get to Brightondale.
Right.
It won't work. questions for Dan with any of that? Ray?
Yeah, just to finish up, as you've heard tonight, quite a few projects have been wrapped up. There's still a few that we were hoping we're going to get to wrap up, or at least pretty darn close. The weather has been challenging. I didn't realize we had nearly the amount. I knew that we had a decent amount of moisture, but when Dan told me that number today, I was kind of blown away. But it makes sense because it's impacted a lot of our parks projects, golf projects, highway projects. Luckily, not really the facilities projects. We had most of the outside work done earlier in the year. So hopefully we'll still be able to button a few things up before the snow flies. With regard to the county fire frequency change, I sound like a broken record, but I met with the Twin Lakes fire department guys earlier this month because they had some concerns about how things were going to work. And this whole thing in working with the County Fire Consortium has been an interesting learning experience because there's about 9 separate agencies, and there isn't really there's some degree of coordination between them, but it's limited, let's say. So bottom line is we had to work through some accommodations for Twin Lakes. They are, besides Pleasant Prairie, but Pleasant Prairie was no problem, Twin Lakes is the only other county fire agency that does their own dispatching. Mm-hmm. Joint Services does dispatching for all the other county fire agencies. So there's a few little wrinkles, and in order to get them to a comfort level, we had to do some things that are going to involve some additional tweaking to some of the FCC licenses that we had in place, which is going to take a little bit more time. I'm still optimistic we're going to get that part of things done by the end of the year, but it's probably going to take everything to get it done by the end of the year. Having that done and switched over to the new frequency will set the table for the simulcast system to be put in place next year, started next year. So that's what's going on with that. Continue to work with the DOT and Department of Administration on Foxconn-related stuff. Clement is in meetings. Clement and Andy from Planning and Development. Usually there's 2 to 3 meetings a week that have to do with activities related to the projects over there, and that's not to bring into account the public phone calls and things that require attention as well related to that. The other thing is stormwater issues. I heard Supervisor Skolitsky going over something with Clement. The number of stormwater issues just continues. I'm really thinking this is just going to be a long-term trend. We have to kind of try to, and folks that haven't had issues or folks that have had decades of issues that were kind of at a certain level, all those things have gotten ratcheted up. So Andy gets phone calls down at P&D, Clement's getting phone calls, I'm getting phone calls, and none of these things is easy to solve because none of it happens in isolation. Whatever you do to this one piece of property has effects on this piece and that piece, so you really have to look at things holistically in order to get any kind of real good solution. So that's taken a lot of stuff. The other thing is just to make the committee aware that in the budget resolution, we brought a few different utility easement resolutions to the committee over the past few years. They're usually something that has to get done quick. It's where usually it's We Energy, sometimes it's ATC, but typically they need an easement to go across a piece of our property. And they're pretty much fait accompli kind of, I'd say, mechanical housekeeping type things. So we did put something in the resolution, the budget resolution, to have those utility easements, just utility easements. Anything else, any other kind of easement, would come through the full process, which would be this committee and finance committee, and then onto the full county board. But for utility easements, we're hoping we can get it passed so that we can just do those at the administrative level, because they're usually, like I say, they're housekeeping more than anything. I've actually got one coming to the committee. It'll be the last one. It'll be coming to the December meeting. It's for, if you can picture where Luis's is on Highway 50, there's a lot directly west of there that the county owns that we took it as part of the planning and development, floodplain mitigation kinds of things. Well, ATC has a part of the big project they're doing, I forget the name of it right now, but it's the one that's running along Highway 50. It connects in Wheatland. It also ATS. Connects in Salem. That big project, well, it's going to run, there's going to be a line that goes over the top of our property. It doesn't even invade it at all, it's just above, but they need an easement to do that. And so we got to bring it to Public Works, and then have a special meeting with Finance and the County Board to do that in December. It's that kind of thing that we'd like to be able to just do at the administrative level and take care of.
That's pretty much it.
Just a lot of stuff as we head into the end of the year. A lot of loose ends to wrap up, but I think we're making progress on most of them. That's pretty much it.
Any questions from anyone? If not...
We talked about stormwater, and I agree that, you know, it's an issue. I've heard about that. And we've seen the Hoosier Creek stormwater, I forget the exact term, but basically it's an appointed body to deal with.
Oh, yeah, the one in the county over here, Hoosier Creek. Yep.
Yeah, it flows north, right into Racine, although it's right on the four. I've got some constituents that were affected, because it's also, unfortunately, a taxing body, but it's... And the Kenosha County is not active. I hate to call it defunct, but it more or less is. But it allows him or gives him jurisdiction. Of course, we're talking between public and private. Water doesn't care who owns the land or water lines are drawn or any of that, right? But in order to get the canals, drain tiles, things like that, fixed, cleaned, or repaired, they have some jurisdiction over it. Now, while the taxation is going on, a lot of landowners that aren't directly affected, because they're a lot of times upstream, don't like that piece of it. But have you guys, as this goes on, if it continues to be, maybe that's something, because it's the board is appointed by circuit judge by state law. And then, you know, so it's the body up there. I've sat through a few meetings, and it can get contentious, obviously. But like you said, depends on where you are on the spectrum. Are you receiving the water? Are you giving the water? It can affect you. Is that something you guys have talked about or exposed to at all?
So
or thought about?
I only know about this much about those things. It's one of those obscure government, pseudo-government mechanisms that played a big role like 50, 70 years ago. There was a number of them on the east side too, most of which have kind of melted away over the past probably 20 years. But I think there's a chance that those are going to come back as mechanisms now because of stormwater. Back then it was farmers mainly trying to coordinate how their farm field tiles worked so one guy wasn't screwing up the neighbor's property. Now it's probably a different set of issues, some related yet to the ag part of it, but it's more residential. But the one out there is the most active one, because I know they did a big dredging project the past couple years of some of the canals out there. But unless you're affected by it, like most people don't even know these things existed. There's one, there used to be one for the South Pike Branch, where we have a lot of issues. And as I believe that particular board like melted away in the last, because the guys all died and nobody was reappointed, and it kind of doesn't
exist. That's a thankless job.
See, right, it's a thankless job, but I think it is one of those mechanisms. That would be probably more appropriate through Andy's committee, because between Andy and Dan, they know
I'll
that stuff really well. It maybe is a time to try to resurrect some of those things.
It also depends on if it's in a village or not.
Yeah, right, unincorporated versus incorporated.
Twin Lakes is a taxing by the lake district.
Yeah.
But that's a village. The county can't touch that. So if it's out of the county, then we could be involved.
It's a whole other, I only know, like I said, as much because we stumbled onto some stuff at the South Pike thing, and nobody was around. No, the board doesn't exist because literally all the guys.
Yeah, the biggest irritation is two-thirds of the money goes towards permitting and studies, and, you know, between the DNR and EPA and all these other governmental entities, and the actual work to get the water moving is simple, right? That was one of the things that most people are very unhappy about, because they're taking in millions and very little work gets done because of the slow grind of all that. And I'm not saying it's any better now. That was a couple of years ago. So I'll talk with Andy a little bit on that, see what we can do. Thanks.
Anything else from anyone? If not, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Supervisor Christie, Supervisor Norrie, second. All of the members of the governance.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks for
that.